And I'm Kelly McEvers in Culver City, California. So there's this news story that's been going around that the state of Utah has solved homelessness in newspapers and magazines, and earlier this year on The Daily Show.
Sir, have you seen any homeless people?
Nope.
Have you seen a single person living in a cardboard box?
No, sorry.
Where the hell did they put everybody?
What's really happened is that Utah is very close to not having any more chronically homeless people. These are people who've been homeless for more than a year, or four times in the last 3 years, and who have a disability. That includes physical disabilities, mental illness, or an addiction. Nationwide, that's around 20% of all homeless people. A decade ago, Utah set a goal to house all of the state's chronically homeless people. And now, they're almost there. The state's gone from nearly 2,000 chronically homeless people to fewer than 200. Kim Evans is one of the few who's still out there, and his life is about to change. We go see him outside of Salt Lake City, where he lives in the woods next to the highway.
Kim, it's the BOA. Volunteers of America. Whoa. Homeless Outreach.
We go there with outreach workers Sanella Paragic and Amanda Lee. They're with Volunteers of America.
Where are you, buddy?
Everybody.
There you are.
Kim Evans has cleared out a lot of the trees here himself. He likes to think of this place as his own park. He shows us around.
But this is a spring that runs back here. Spring walk back there. It's beautiful. So this is Arrowhead Junction.
Kim Evans is 54, but he looks a lot older. He's got a tent with a fence around it made of wood, piles of tarp, and grocery carts full of stuff he collects. He wears a good new winter coat that was donated.
How long have you been here?
5 years.
So,
too long.
Too long,
yeah. Yeah, but
5 years out plus a bad back injury and drug use means Kim Evans is chronically homeless. And any day now, he's about to get his own apartment, mostly paid for by the federal government. When he talks, he's a little hard to understand. He's had a stroke and is missing some teeth. He tells us he doesn't want to spend another winter in the woods.
I couldn't handle another winter out here. And now that the trees are thinner, it's even colder. I'm going to go lay in the bathtub for a week.
Hot water.
Right? Hot water will feel pretty good.
Yeah, it will. It will.
Before, Kim Evans would have had to prove he was sober and drug-free before he could get housing and take that warm bath. Or he might have just stayed homeless. Under Utah's Housing First approach, he'll get housed with few questions asked. The idea of Housing First is that housing comes first, services later. You do have to pay some rent, either 30% of your income or up to $50 a month, whichever's greater. A similar approach was first tried in Los Angeles in the late 80s and New York City in the early 90s. Later, the Bush administration adopted the model, and cities and states started writing 10-year plans to end chronic homelessness.
And I said, you know, you guys are smoking something because there's no way on this earth that you're going to end homelessness.
That's Lloyd Pendleton, who at the time ran humanitarian services for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He says, as a conservative, he didn't think the government should just give people a place to live.
Because I was reared as a cowboy on the West Desert, and I have said over the years, you lazy bums, get a job. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Then in 2003, Lloyd Pendleton went to a conference on homelessness, where a founder of the Housing First philosophy told him that chronically homeless people cost the government a lot of money for emergency room visits and jail time, like between $30,000 and $50,000 per person per year. Housing them simply costs a lot less. On the way home from that conference, Pendleton sat in a window seat on the plane.
And as I flew out and we flew through the clouds, I can remember looking out at the clouds and saying, Lloyd, if there's any state in the union that can accomplish this, it's the state of Utah.
Back in Utah, he launched a pilot project in Salt Lake City that housed 17 of the hardest cases, 17 chronically homeless people. Almost 2 years later, all those people remained housed. Lloyd Pendleton eventually became the director of the Homeless Task Force for the state of Utah, and he got everybody all the way up to the governor on board.
So political people became believers because it worked in Salt Lake City. That then gave us the courage, the moral impetus, the political will to go forth and build that 100 units, the next year 84 units, the next year 201 units, the next year 110 units, and then another 59 units.
Almost enough to house all of Utah's chronically homeless people. Utah was the first to take the Housing First model statewide. And even though many cities in the U.S. have also been doing this for a while, they still come to Utah to study why it's working so well there.
And so I get probably 2 to 5 calls a week now wanting to know how we did it, what's unique about Utah, because it can be done.
Here's how it is done. Every Tuesday in Salt Lake City, people in all the agencies that work with the chronically homeless get together in this small office.
All right, let's get started.
Kevin Austin, who works with a nonprofit called The Road Home, lets us record. We agree not to broadcast their clients' names. Kevin Austin has a list with 86 names on it. 86 chronically homeless people who qualify for housing.
Okay, we have a couple openings.
Even though Utah is committed to Housing First, there still isn't enough housing for every one of the chronically homeless.
So Spring Glen, group living. So we need to choose somebody that is...
male only.
Male only, and that plays semi-nice with others.
Someone recommends a name. Then Ed Snoddy, who does medical outreach for Volunteers of America, says the man is a bad fit for the opening because he deals drugs.
Do you think he'll play nice?
I don't think he will, really, no.
He is notoriously dealing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's
he does not play nice, the group agrees. So for now, he stays on the list. They talk about a few more names.
Yeah, I've got all her documents finally. She's working.
And we know she's chronic?
Yes, she is.
Okay, going today, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's get two more.
By the end of the meeting, three people get housed. Here's Kevin Austin again.
And so when we come through and we're picking out three people from this list of 86, you know, it does kind of suck to know that we left 83 people on that list who don't have an option, or at least a permanent option right now. But those three people, that's their lifeblood.
One place that chronically homeless people get housed in Salt Lake City is called Grace Mary Manor. It's a two-story building. Its hallways are lined with doors to studio apartments, kind of like a hotel. A handful of counselors and caseworkers are on site during the day. Joe Ortega has been living here for 6 months.
I'm Kelly.
Oh, hi, Kelly.
Nice to meet you.
He shows me his room and his 1,000-piece puzzle.
Oh, you got a puzzle going. Nice.
Yeah.
How long does it take you?
This took a couple months. This is my new addiction, you know. I mean, it takes my mind off the old addiction type thing that I have. And
Joe Ortega used to drink a lot and do drugs. He says it's how he dealt with life on the streets. He was homeless for 20 years. For the past 2 years, he lived under a bridge. Then one day he started losing movement in his arms and losing his balance. He went to a doctor who told him to get sober.
That was my first challenge. The getting sober was the hardest, you know, to let it go.
It was right around this time that outreach workers started telling Joe Ortega that his name had come up, that he was next on the list to be housed. But he didn't believe it. He says he kind of liked living in the streets.
You think it's fun when you first get out there. It is fun to an extent, you know, because you're like, I got freedom, and I don't have to answer to a landlord, and I don't have to, you know, pay light bill. If I get a housing, or if I need my own apartment, I got to have deposit and, you know, rent and bills and
rules,
responsibilities, and that's what kind of keeps you out there.
Eventually, the outreach team convinced Joe Ortega that the offer of housing was real.
Well, I was in shock at first, you know. Because I never lived on my own.
Was it hard?
It was tough. It was tough to, you know, it was a little scary. I was scared. And I was like, what am I going to do alone? You know, I got to find things to take up my time.
This is one challenge with housing the chronically homeless. Advocates say it takes time for people to get used to the fact that they have a home. Some people will sleep in tents inside their apartments. Some will even go sleep on the streets a few nights a week. For Joe Ortega, it means getting used to not having to hustle for everything and getting used to being alone.
I make the best of every day. My puzzle makes me happy. You know, I watch, you know, decent programs, and, you know, I love documentaries. You know, I'll lay on the bed and just watch the whole Nova and nature and just love those things.
Eventually, people get settled and are able to access health care and job training services. Again, all of this costs the state a lot less than if those people stayed on the street. So how was Utah able to house so many people like Joe Ortega? How did it have such a high success rate with the Housing First model? First, Utah is small. 10 years ago, when this first started, there were 2,000 chronically homeless people in Utah. For a comparison, right now in California, that number is 29,000. Second, the LDS Church has a lot of influence in Utah and was a big supporter of Housing First. And third, Utah had a champion in Lloyd Pendleton, someone who believed in the idea and was willing to push politicians and advocates to go along. And finally, Utah is a place where most of these advocates and agencies know each other and work well with each other. and they know most of the homeless people by name. Here's how that homeless outreach team reacted when I asked them about Joe Ortega.
Did you guys work with Joe Ortega at all?
Yes.
Yes. We love Joe.
We've known Joe for, as long as I've been with
That familiarity is one reason for Utah's success.